For thy name is excellent, and we shall mark you this midweek scripture truth as we gather in your mighty name, Almighty Yahweh. We do barak you and shabak you. With great rejoicing we do come before you, our precious Abba, to tota you for all that you have done for the house of Israel. As you bring us to understanding of your emet, that our minds will be open and our love him will be given over unto the principles of Torah, that Yahshua HaMashiach has birth in the inward parts of us all, true Yisrael. So we ask you to touch us all this night. Give us reassurance as you speak to us by your truth. We ask you to bless the ears of the hearers, that they may hear what Yahweh speaks unto Yisrael, that they may understand Shemak with great perception, with understanding that enlightens, bring them to the full assurance of the knowledge of our Abba. So as we gather here in your bayat this evening, we come before you and offer up our tefillah before you, Yah. We do pray in the earnest, with a sincere motive, with the desire being pure. We do pray that our tefillah will captivate your ears tonight, that you will hear us, and that your right hand, Yahshua HaMashiach, the power of your deliverance, the strength of your might in an earthen tabernacle, will be revealed in a mighty way unto us, that we will lash hold on to your right hand, to that profound witness of truth, to that righteous living power of Torah, that we may lash hold and grab so tightly to your right hand. So direct us tonight, Almighty Yahweh, as you forgive us of our transgressions and our sins. Above all things, we ask that your kingdom come, your will be done in this Olam, that your excellent name may be exalted and praised among your people, that we must lift up the standard of your name in the midst of this heathenistic generation. So help us all, I pray, our precious brothers and sisters scattered throughout many nations of the world, in different parts of the world. As we hear from them, we pray your strength rest upon them. The sister today, we pray that you will help her and her husband in their situation. You bring her to the knowledge and him to this profound truth. Give them understanding, Abba, and assure them that all is well. Bless Brother Nathan and those that gather with him there in the live stream as he directs things there from his home in Houston, Texas. We do pray for that gathering in Houston, that this profound message that you have brought a light in my love, that it may come forth with great dynamics, truth, and strength. Do bless them, Pastor Aji, and the precious daughters of Zion there, the brothers and sisters, Elder Martin there in Kenya, strengthen him, and our precious brother and friend, Pastor Babu. We pray for Elder Basil and Pastor Joey there in Okeechobee prison camp. Many years they have spent in those facilities. We pray that the circumstance on tomorrow with the brothers as we journey here to Bennettsville for the course to take, that the outreach of your ways congregation may reach its tentacles deep into the federal prison system. Because in that place, we do find the seed of Israel. So we pray your blessing upon that. Bring the brothers home safely as they travel the highway this evening. Bless your manservant tonight that he may speak with clarity. And those that hear may receive it with great delight. We pray your anointing upon this bay tonight. Let us sing to your honor and esteem your name. We ask all things in the mighty name of Yahshua, Lamb of Israel, the hope of Israel. We praise you, our Abba, and we bless you. And all Israel cried hallelujah. Come on, lift your hands, hallelujah. Come on, lift your hands and your voices.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Yes, Yahweh.
For your excellence is mighty and great. We do ask that you will bless us this night as we assemble your mighty name. Whoever they are that hear this broadcast, at whatever period of time, strengthen them all I ask. Yahshua's mighty name. Israel cried hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, look to your neighbor and say, Tota. Yeah, and I bless him for you. Yahweh blesses you. You may be seated. Hallelujah. We do bless him and certainly do thank Almighty Yahweh for all things. What a time and dispensation that we're living in this hour. As I was thinking today, HaMashiach commands us that we must become like the little ones, unless we become as one of these little ones, we will in no wise enter into the kingdom of Almighty Yah. And as I was sitting today thinking, my mind meditating upon that particular scripture, and as I began to reminisce and think of some of the traits of the little ones, and this amazing thought came to my remembrance. As I recall when little Joy Lindsay was a child, that she would ask me to read to her. And of course, you can read the same books over and over and over and over again, and they never get tired of it. It becomes a part of their speech. They retain the words quite vividly, and they hold fast to those words. I would read it one time, and as soon as I was finished, she would say, read it again. You read it again, and as soon as you finish again, she would say, read it again. Read it again. It was never a moment whereby they were disillusioned because of the reading. And every time it brought a new nuance to them, a different thought, something that they did not perceive in the first reading, there was perception in the second, third, fourth. You could literally read the same book over and over and over. To you, it becomes very monotonous. But to them, they are very intrigued with it continuously. They never lose their perception as to what is being conveyed out of the pages of the book. Now use that analogy to speak to us that we are not intrigued nor impressed to hear what Yahweh speaks to us over and over again. We become very hostile against him when he speaks to us. We do not like the way he speaks to us. Now don't read to children and give some form of animation to it. It really excites them. It really brings the reading alive. And they will ask for the same material over again. They know exactly where it's at on the bookshelf. They will go pick it out. And not only that, you can read to them until they become drowsy and asleep. Until they lose all their faculties and they become drowned or submerged into the reading. Now we do not have that propensity or appetite for the things of Almighty Yahweh. Our attention span unto him is very short. And what he says is very intriguing. What he says has paramount to it. It is very powerful. But because our minds are so taken by our own sleep and slumber, our slothfulness, then the truth of Almighty Yahweh doesn't bring life in our inward being. And so there is no animation of the people of Yah today because we have lost perspectives on the things of Yah. And the child, even though they cannot read, you can sit there and you can move your finger along with the wording. They become so familiar with the book, I don't care how many you read to them, if it's done repetitively, they will retain the words of the book. And you will say to them, I would say to Joy, read to me. And she would read the words verbatim almost, because she remembered the pattern as how I pointed to each word. Now that is what Yahweh tries to do with Yisrael. And what he does, he tries to stir up our minds or our pure minds by way of bringing things back into thoughts, into memory. We must be reminded constantly. We must have a constant reminder as to what Yahweh expects and requires of us. Now, I know we may think that the requirements seems to be so hard, but what he commands of us and what he expects of us, he will not accept anything less. He wants all that he commands and what he expects. And the reason he wants that, because he has enabled a people to offer up unto him what is expected of a people. So there is no added burden or weight upon Israel. It is simply one thing that is missing from the mindset of Israel, and that is the willingness to obey. And that's all we need to do is obey. Obey what he commands us. And we will find that the burdens will be very light. I had someone to call me today. That's why I missed dinner. And this is what the sister said. She said, Pastor Roberts, I have been brought up in the steep traditions of the apostolics. It is sometimes very difficult to break the shackles of those bondages that have captivated you. She said, but it is one thing for sure. You began to hear and understand the knowledge of Yahweh's truth. It literally makes you free. And you are made free to worship him and to bless him. What has removed us and the people of Israel away from this love toward Yah? Who has separated you or brought this tremendous breach and this gulf between you and him, whereby you do not sense the sensitivities of Yahshua HaMashiach? Your levim cannot be touched collectively. Your heart, your lev, is not moved, as the old Kedushim would say, that the word of Almighty Yahweh has moved me and propelled me into another realm. One of excitement, one of gladness, What of great strength? What has brought about this divide? What has brought about this gulf and this separation? What has been the factor to cause a deep gulf or a divide between you and Yahweh for the love of HaMashiach? Your trials, your tribulations, the perplexities of this life. I was reading and I was looking at some of the children there in Darfur. Their heads are bald because of malnourishment. Their bellies protrude outwardly because there is nothing there but probably a worm in the belly of the child. And because there is not enough water to detoxify them, the little eyes are yellow and dark and no strength. A total genocide that is coming to that country. And what struck me, it was this woman. She was pregnant with child and she had labored for 3 or 4 days. You must understand, to get to some facility in a nation like that, it is quite difficult. And so they were able to find someone that had a motorbike that ferried her about 25 miles away to a hospital. And the doctors, because they have, and it was only one, treated so many people, he knew she wasn't going to live. So he says, you must give me $200 in order to do a cesarean operation and to deliver the child. He knew the woman was near death. He knew she wasn't going to live. And so her husband, standing by her side, he was very emotional. My wife, she had 3 children at home in a very bleak condition. And so he began to weep very heavily. My wife, why cannot you all save her? Well, they asked the doctor, which sees hundreds of patients a day, very limited resources and things to accommodate them in their afflictions. So the interviewer asked him, why did you not try to save her? His response was, with what materials we have and what little we possess, I knew that she could not be saved. And so the mother and the child died. In the midst of all of that, her husband was not separated from his wife or his care for her, was still as intense as it was before she passed and when she did pass. Now, what has caused the light or the life and the power of HaMashiach to die within us? Has our trials that we perceive to be mighty and powerful, they have separated us from loving HaMashiach? That we trust what Yahweh speaks or what He has spoken unto us by the living power of that living word? What has caused us not to be driven to seek out the oracles or the principles of Almighty Yah with a diligent effort? What has caused us to be separated, whereby our minds do not articulate the thoughts of Yahweh to our every practice during the day? What has removed us? What has caused your eyes not to light up with the light of hope that is in Yahshua HaMashiach? It is your iniquitous ways, your sins, because you have established a God. It is not the Mighty One, the Most High of Israel. It is the God of our belly. It is our own lust. It is our own greed. It is our own corruption and our own sins that have separated us from Almighty Yah. And the power of your sin has turned his face away from you, so you take no delight in what he speaks to you. You take no comfort in the repetitiveness as to what he speaks to us. The little child can hear the story over, over, and over, and over, over, and over again, and they will have the same excitement every time they hear it, and the intensity of the excitement will grow by leaps and bounds the more that they hear it. And the more they become familiar with the story, they literally can tell you the beginning from the end. And when you miss a certain portion of it, they will let you know you did not go through the proper sequence of the story. Now, what is the sequence in your life, in your mind, your ruach, that has been broken? What cord in your life has been severed between you and Almighty God? It is not something you can lay to the charge of someone else. It is laid upon your own breast. It is your own iniquity that has caused your mind to be removed away from the disciplines, the principles, the correction of Almighty Yahweh. It is not what someone has done or the reproach that you have been reproached by that has not separated you. It is your own iniquity, your own iniquitous ways, your sinful practice, your devious, treacherous ways that bring about a divide between you and Almighty Yahweh. And so what we do, we question him as to what have I done? Why am I not closer to you, Almighty Yah? Why is my mind so bogged down with trivial things that produce nothing but a deeper gulf between you and me? There's an account in Scripture I want to read. And tonight I want you to hear. We need the Shemak to understand the word of Almighty Yah. For some reason, we think that this is some kind of a fairy tale, little story, something that is fictitious. But this is the reality of life and our eternal being. This has the substance of our eternal life. And if we do not follow it by the spirit of a letter, we're going to be lost. And we're going to be without any kind of excuse. And there was one that Scripture says, he was a very rich young man. He was mighty. He was a powerful young man. He understood Torah and Tanakh. He was very faithful in the principles and practices of the Torah way. But yet he encountered the living Torah, Yahshua, the living Word of Yah. And this is the account in Scripture, what it tells us about the incident. Scripture says, and behold, one came unto Yahshua, and he called him a Tav Rabbi Rabbona, mighty one of Yah, one that is inspired by Scripture, one that knows the power and the liturgy of Scripture, one that understands the Nabis and the writings on the Tanakh. He says, what tov, not things now, what good thing, what tov thing shall I do that I might inherit eternal life? Just tell me the most perfect principle that I may apply to my heart, that I may obtain this life that is beyond the realm of the natural mind to grasp. And it moves me into another level whereby there is a communication between the Abba and me. Tell me the one top thing or the one perfect thing that I must practice, I must do, that it must become incorporated in my life. It must be a part of my life. My life must be represented by. Tell me the one thing. Tell me. I've examined myself. Tell me. I perceive that you're a man that is of great wisdom. I understand that you know the scroll because I hear the words that you speak. They are beyond the liturgy of Rabbonus, the rabbis that serve the tabernacle. The way you speak, it has great emphasis. There's a dynamic to it. There's a power of delivery. There's something that fires up the inward parts of me when I hear you speak. Tell me the one thing. Just one thing. He did not ask for 10 things. He did not ask for 5 things. And the one thing that has separated you from Yah is your own iniquity, your own sins, your own lust and your own greed. Tell me the one tough thing that I may do, that I may walk in this fullness of life of Almighty Yahweh. HaMashiach says unto him, "What do you call me tough, good?" He said, "There is none tough but one. That is Yahweh." He says, "But since you asked me the question, but if you will enter into life," he says, "keep the mitzvah." Not the mitzvah, but keep the mitzvah. Keep the commands, the commandment. What Yahweh has commanded you, keep the commands of Almighty Yah. And so as he began to do some introspective judgment of his own life, he began to rise with some form of pride, like we do. "I did that. I was nice to you. I did that for you. I did a kind gesture to you." Yet we think that this is the essence of entering into the kingdom. We think that this is what it's going to take. So he began to rise with some sense of assurance. Because Messiah said unto him, he says, "Which Yahshua shall," and Yahshua said, "You shall do no murder. Don't hate your brother or sister. Because if you hate your brother or sister, then you are a murderer. If you despise the fellowship of your brother or sisters, you are a murderer." He says, "You should not commit adultery. Don't steal. Don't take anything. Don't steal at all. Don't even let it be perceived that you have stolen." He said, "You should not steal." And he said another thing, don't bear false witness against your brothers or against one another. Don't speak things against your neighbors or lies that are based upon some presumption. Is that based upon the acts and the deeds that you have physically and see with your eyes, unless there's a true witness? He said, don't make false accusations out of your avat, your great reverence unto your Ima, your mother. And you shall love your neighbor as yourself. You shall express the kindness of Yah, the Ahava of Almighty Yah. And so the young man, when he heard those things, he said within himself, "I've scored 100. Then the young man says to HaMashiach, he said, "Not one of these things, but all these things have I kept from my youthful days of Torah, from my youth up. What lack I yet?" Now these things I have done. I've done them faithfully, but yet the man knew he lacked something. You know when you are lacking. When what is lacking, it is without the sufficiency that it takes to walk in the perfection, the love of Yahweh's truth. You know you lack something. He said, "What do I lack? Tell me. What is missing? What will it take?" It is almost asking someone to examine you. "Well, what have I done wrong?" And when they tell you what you've done wrong, you become very hostile toward that. That is the natural aggressive way of human nature. He says, "All those things are wonderful. I've done that." Now here he knows that this Rabboni is one that is mighty. He knows that this Rabboni is a spokesman for Almighty Yahweh. He knows that this one has a living power of Torah in him. And it's not like the temple stewardship. It's not like that. Not at all. He senses that there's something mighty in this one. It is greatly different than the other ones. Even his own aspiration. Even his own life. This one is different. So he says to him, he knew that he could tell them. him. That's what he asked him. Tell me what thing is lacking in my life. What is missing? Tell me that. What is lacking? Joshua said to him, if you will be perfect, complete, if the Torah has the living power of Almighty Yah in you, if you will be perfect, listen now, go and sell that you have, give to the poor. You shall have treasures in Hoshemayim in the heavens. He said, and come follow me. Now follow me. You must follow him. Take all you got, sell, give to the poor. This is the generation that is not sold out. Even when I was in Christendom, we would sing a song, sold out, bought out. And what that implied, that there is nothing that I will allow to impede me or prevent me from walking in the perfect knowledge of the truth when it's revealed unto me. So in order for you to walk in the dynamics of Yah's truth, he says, sell out. Give up your life for the purpose of the word of Almighty Yahweh. For he is the Most High. He is the one that made you. If you believe that I am the one that speaks with this dynamics, sell everything, because you know that it is irrelevant. You know that it has no value. You know it has no purpose and no strength in life. Sell it all and come follow me. He thought on that, as we do. We have to give up our own sinful, wicked ways. We don't want to give them up. We don't want to give up our corrupt attitudes and the filthiness of our own flesh, not your neighbor's flesh. Because the man said, I've loved my neighbor as I've loved myself. We don't spend enough time correcting ourselves. And that's why we are very weak. Because we don't spend time correcting ourselves and exercising ourselves unto the imuna of Almighty Yah. We don't spend no time in that. We give every excuse why our attitude and why our position is the way it is. We spend no time on actually maintaining and with maintenance toward us. We are high maintenance people. You understand? We get filthy every single day. So when he said this, the scripture says, but when the young man heard, he perceived, he understood that saying. He went away. He turned away from him. And he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. You see, it is your possessions that separate you. It's not the tribulations and the trials. Because it's one thing when there are tribulations and trials, even those that do not know Yah, they will call upon someone. You began to pray. When there are afflictions, you feel like death is coming, you get this righteous fear, don't you? Don't sit here like hypocrites on me. You get this self-righteous fear, and you want to pray then, don't you? When you think that your heart is about to give out, you feel some pumping there. You want to pray there, don't you? You get a little fearful. You're afraid you're going to die. When you sense that there's something drastic taking place in your body and things don't feel normal, you begin to pray, oh yeah, oh God, oh Lord. You begin to pray that way. That's the mindset of this generation. He said it is your possessions. It is your possessions that separate you. That is what separated you from Almighty Yah. Those things that you possess and you hold fast to them. It is your sons and your daughters, your earthly possessions. The things that are more valuable than the living truth of Almighty Yahweh. So it is the possessions of this generation. It is the possessions. Your sins are what you possess. It is your own ubiquitous ways, your lying, conniving, treacherous, devious actions and deeds have brought about a divide and a gulf between you and Almighty Yah. You can't pray. You can't cry out. Your mind cannot be stable long enough like the rich young ruler to hear what Yahweh speaks unto you. Your mind drifts to and fro because it is your possession. This is my mind. What small, minuscule mind do we possess? We need the mind of HaMashiach. The mind that loves Yah. Here the man wanted eternal life. And you always say you want eternal life. You want to dwell in the kingdom of Almighty Yah. He says, go and sell out or sell out the purpose of your flesh and the will and the driving desire. You say, I have too much. I have much. And we turn away from him very sorrowful because we're not willing to do what he commands us to do. There are men today that have turned away from Yah because wives did not want to please over Yah. There are wives today that are given up because the husband says, it doesn't take that. I want you. It's either him or me. Well, give me Almighty Yahweh and you take the woman. Give me Yah and take the wife. Because he had great possession, he will not leave those possessions. And so he was separated. Who has separated you? His possessions and your possessions, even though we will never amass anything at all. Don't let the world deceive you. What we think is wealth in this nation, it is a superficial, false thing. And that's the truth. Mike Tyson made $300 million, close to $500 million. And he's a mockery and a clown now. And so don't think that this is the wealth that comes from Almighty Yah. It comes from the gates of darkness, from the gods of this world. And that's why they lift them up and throw them down mightily. You can go back through the history of time and look at all of those that relish or ravish in wealth. And look at many of them today. Look at them. So he had much. He had his own will, his own purpose, his own devious ways, his own lying tongue. And that is what you possess. You possess much of you. Your ways resonate from you. Your attitude comes from you because nothing defiles you like your own love. It is your own heart that defiles you. It is the hatred of your own heart that causes you to reject the truth of Almighty Yahweh. It is the thing that is corrupt in you that causes your words and your attitude to become corrupt. It is not the external things. There are many things that I see in the world, but I will not allow that to grab hold to my love. I will not allow my mind to be poisoned by the greed and the wickedness of this nation that we call America. If I have one prayer, it is Yahweh, bring it down, that Israel will truly trust you. That's my prayer. That he brings it down to the gates of hell. He's going to bring it down. She's going to burn with the fire like no other fire has burned in the earth, because the dross of sin is great like no other nations. The Muslims are simply heathens. Those of pagan religions are simply heathens. But this is a nation that is full of pride and wickedness. This is a rich, young, ruling nation. The youngest nation upon the face of the earth, with great power, riches, and wealth. And so she says to Yah, I have too much possession. I have too much. And that is what will separate you from me. Because you require too much. You ask too much. And that is what separates us from Yah. Because he asks all, doesn't he? Love Almighty Yahweh with some of your heart, all your mind, all of your being, and all of your strength. You see, he asks for all. And you possess that, you possess those qualities that not realizing that it was Yahweh that gave you strength. It was Yahweh that gave you life. And what he says, come follow me, and I will give you something greater than what you see in this natural realm. You say, I got too much. Too many possessions. I got too much. And all that we have together, whether we were all individually in our own places out there, it wouldn't mount to a hill of beans. It wouldn't mount to nothing. You could set it all ablaze in one little kindling of a fire. It would be nothing. Nothing. And yet the rich young ruler, he was rich. Not any of you were rich in the sense that even we began to understand the principles of Christianity, you were not rich. And so he said, so on and come follow me. We're not a soul out people. We're not soul out. We have not been purchased by the dawn, the blood of HaMashiach. Don't you know that we've been purchased through Israel? Has been purchased by the dawn, the blood of Yahshua HaMashiach. Do you understand that? We have been purchased with a price, the propitiation of our sins, the price paid in full, that gives us interest into the kingdom of Almighty Yah, and we will allow our own earthly possession, our own foolish thoughts that have been shaped by hatred, dishonoring, lies, treachery. You will allow that to separate you from loving Yahshua. That he paid the ultimate price for our sins. That we will not follow the examples of Messiah. Something is drastically wrong in us. It's a twisted generation. Unless we become like one of the little ones, we are in no wise going to enter into the kingdom. Now, there's something that has separated your time from studying, from seeking after truth, that you seek folly and frivolity and juvenile things. There's something. You got more energy to read a fictional fairy tale than to read the profound truth of Yah. Something has separated you, and it is your own possession because this is my time. I do what I want to do, not so in HaMashiach. We do what he commands us to do and instruct us to do by the power of his living word. Because if you do not obey him, then you are none of his. You're not a part of the purchased possession of Almighty Yah. So that is the thing that has, above all things, separated your heart from loving HaMashiach. Who has separated you from the love of Yahshua? Shall trials of tribulations, shall the afflictions, shall burdens and the calamities of life, shall the hardship of death, the sword and these great afflictions, do these things separate me from Yahweh's love? No. He gives us examples throughout Scripture. What brought about a tremendous divide between a people that had heard the power of living truth, had seen the mighty miracles, knew of the great love, the Ahava of Yahweh, because they had seen it. And yet they were separated. Yet they were removed away from that. They had no compassion or passion for truth. And this is a generation that has no passion and no love for truth. We got a love for folly. We get excited about trivial things. We rejoice about things that are fruitless. We smile about things that have no life. But the living power of your truth doesn't bring about a change in us. Something is twisted in your mind. Period. Now you all can sit here all pious all you want to. But you all know when you went on that little field trip. You probably, the grins that were grinned that day. You probably could purchase love with that. And yet when it comes to Yahweh, there's nothing that excites your heart about. Don't you know the hypocrisy of your superficial life? Don't you know you're a hypocrite? Don't you know you've deceived your own self? I say things often because that is the heart of this generation. And you don't even see it. I guarantee you are smiling about nothing. When it comes to Almighty Yah, to hear what he speaks, then it doesn't excite your damnable wicked heart. Your heart is grown fat. And that is a metaphor of this generation. It is a metaphor, but it is a reality. That's why this nation is sluggish and fat and lazy. No energy for the things of Yah. It's just the truth, brothers and sisters. You get offended, you just get offended. I'm not going to stop using the kinds of analogies that are true and show us in the natural sense our spiritual sense as well. It is just the truth. And if you're offended, just be offended. It's time you grow up. Deal with the truth of the reality what's in you and begin to change, all right? You must begin to do that. So these are the things he said. The young ruler had heard this, and he went away sorrow because he had much. He had great possession. He had too much. You got too much time, too much energy. That is wasteless. It's wasted in nothing. is not utilized for the things of Almighty Yahweh. That's the truth. No tefillah, no true prayer. Not whatsoever. And if someone confronts you with that, you become highly perturbed. But that's all right. Become perturbed with me. It's all right. It is not me that you're angry with. It is Yahweh, because He corrects you. And He shows you. Yahweh is known by His Ruah of judgment. He judge. He brings judgment to light. He judge us. He reveals what's hidden in the dark crevices of our life. Correct me, Yah, in your judgment, and not in your anger, unless you bring me down to a piece of dog meat. And that's what He's going to bring this nation down to, a piece of dog meat. Because America and you, Israel, do not like the correction of Almighty Yah. This young man, he wanted to know what it took. When he found out what it took, he says, I will not do that. And this is what we separate here. So that's what we tell Yahweh. This is what we separate. You offended me. Well, what are your emotions? What are they based upon? Why are you so easily offended? Why is it that you don't have the ahava of Yahweh in you, that you're not so easily offended? What a man truly has that pure ahava. He's not easily offended. Not at all. Not one bit at all. If some of you all had some of the things that the folks write and say to me, I don't know how you would handle that. Do you answer them the same way? No, I answer them with wisdom. And once I answer them, I don't hear from them again. Does it offend you? Not at all. Do you become perturbed for what? And who I am. I don't know my purpose. So it is your possession. You have not given anything up unto Yahweh. You haven't given your sons and your daughters. You haven't even given yourself. So it is your possessions that separate you from Almighty Yah. Not the trials. I tell you what, Yahweh, if you allow a little pain to hit your heart tonight, you will pray. I know I will. I know I will. Help me, Yah. Yes, Yah, I need you. I will pray that. So those are not the things that separate you. It's your possession that separates you. It removes you away from Yah. It divides you. It causes you to be turned away from Him. It causes your heart to become hardened. Your mind to be segregated from Him. That's what it is. Hallelujah. You see, when a man has an understanding of who he is, he will follow Him. And nothing will separate him. I want to show you an account. It says in Scripture, Yahshua walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simeon and Kepha, Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And straightway, without thought, without compromising, without considering, and straightway, they left all their nets and followed him. And going on from there, he saw other two brothers, Jacob, James, the son of Zebedee, Yochanan, his brother, in a ship with Zebedee, their avad, mending their nets. And he called them. HaMashiach says, come follow me. And immediately they left. Do you hear this? They left the ship and their avat, their father, and they followed him. They did not let father's love, father's possession, nothing separated them from the call of that profound ahava of Almighty Yah. What has separated you from the love of HaMashiach that you will not follow him? What has caused our minds to be separated from this pure love that we don't love him? Yet we see the pattern that straightway our possession, our thought, our own mind has interfered with the plan of Almighty Yah. For he had great possession. They had ship, they had Ima, Avot, and straightway, without giving the enemy time to bring about some compromise, they left home. We compromise with Yahweh when it comes to our possession. I don't see why I have to get rid of that. I don't see why I have to do that. I was reading, I get this pagan magazine once a month, and I know why I get it. It's from Focus on the Family. I really wanted to read some of the articles that they wrote this month in the little magazine, about 25 pages. It is amazing what challenges they are having, and what things that they have never dealt with are just literally creeping into these whorehouses, devastating their children, the families, the wives. They dealt with the issue of women dressing, that these sensual garments and how they reveal their bodies and wearing things that are tight and revealing. It makes no difference in this generation. I don't care what one looks like, what they're built like. We want to show off what we have. It is a dismal, appalling shame what it is. And that is the truth. You may not like it, but it's the truth. And as I read through the little magazine, I read it because it's about 25, 30 pages. It's not very large. And all the issues that they are dealing with, the separating families and homes, separating them from the love of principles of Almighty Yahweh. It's because they have never dealt with them, and now they become so monumental, there is nothing they can do. They are not going to tell the women how to dress. There was an article in there about television, and the woman turned it off and saw the radical change in their lives. There's an article in there that about internet, and 72% of all searches on the internet are perverted and sexual things. That's all it is. It is a snare to draw this wicked mindset, because there is no harbor for Maria. That's what it's all about. And Mr. James Dobson, and the Focus on Family, I focus on Yahweh. Turn your eyes upon the Hamashiach. I focus on the true family, the family of Yah. Who? Those that hear the word of Yah, do the will of Almighty Yahweh. This is the family of Yah. Not your natural son, daughter. They are not of a composition of Yahweh's family. Now that settles that. But all of these factors now that are bringing about this tremendous imbalance in these whorehouses today, they're letting it go so far there is no way they can take care of it. Drugs with their sons and daughters. Pornography is the number one thing on the web. That's all they use it for. You can go to Indonesia. You can go anywhere in the world. You can find any kind of explicit thing you want. It's there. It's there. I will not even allow my mind to even play with that, any of it. But this is a generation that is given over unto that. It's a generation that loves that. It's a generation that because they think that they possess all things, I do my thing, what I want to do, I'm my own man, I'm my own woman, no one tells me. Well, that's a fool. Because a wise person listens and they learn. A wise person receives instruction, but a fool, you cannot instruct a fool in diddly. You try to show a fool how to do something. Oh, I know how to do it. Well, hold up, man. How do you know how to do it, woman? Well, I don't need nobody to show me. I know how to do it. But a fool, you cannot instruct a fool in anything. A wise man will hear. He will learn. A wise woman, she will perceive, and then will become wise. But not an illiterate fool. You can never instruct a fool. They're too sensitive. It's a foolish generation. We're too sensitive. Well, you hurt my feelings. What are your feelings worth? Bah! They're not even worth a proper cow's dung. Emotions of our feelings are as erratic as the weather. They change up and down, up and down. Hallelujah. You know, just like the ingredients of the leaves changing during the autumn, there are certain ingredients that cause the leaves to change. You understand that? There's a certain amount of sugar, the weather, and the topographical area. That's what caused the leaves to change. Really, the sugar in the leaves. You can almost taste any leaf, and it has some bit of sweetness to it. And if you take them and do like we do the cane, it will be sugary. But that's what caused the leaves to change. Those are some of the same things that I use that analogy. They are things that cause our attitudes to change. Our own sins, our own iniquity, our own anger, our own hostility, our own disagreement. Those are the things that cause you to look different. And the things that make us look like Hamashiach and to walk in the same mind is that we obey Him. They left all. They left all and they followed Him. Now what separated these from those things and the other one that said, I'm Yisrael, he was not separated. This is true Yisrael. And true Yisrael, they are sold out. They are bought. They won't turn back. True Yisrael. True Yisrael. But the deception, the ones whereby the tares have been sown, because the ruler has gone on a far journey, and there has come one, the deceiver. He has came and sown tares in the midst. Neos says, let the wheat and the tare tarry. I'm going to rip it up. Don't worry. And he's going to rip it up with the vengeance of his fire. He's going to burn it to the gates of hell. That's what he's going to do. That's what Yahweh's going to do. What has separated you? You only pray when you feel the heart fluttering a little more than it should. We only pray when we sense that death is at the door, don't we? We only get fearful, and the fear of Yahweh is the beginning of wisdom. We only get a little fear when we think we're going to die, when something gets wrong. You've never experienced that? Okay, then. Thank you. That's the only time we get a little fearful. But we're not fearful of our deeds and our actions, our sins, what we do, and how we commit sins willingly. See, this is a generation that is willingly ignorant. It's not that we cannot know it, it's just willingly ignorant. It's almost like a child in school saying, I really don't want to expend the energy to learn that. It takes too much. Well, it does take energy to learn. It takes a strength to learn. It takes character. It takes a character to learn your ways and to correct them. This is a generation that doesn't want to do that. It's a self-righteous, wicked generation. And so it's going to take someone that is not afraid of the faces like Jeremiah, and not intimidated by people, not concerned as to how they will respond, to tell them the truth. And I have no problem with that. It's almost like Bush. President Bush spoke at the General Assembly of the United Nations. He made a statement. He said, this is one of the hardest audience I ever have to speak to. He said, I really don't look forward to speaking to them. You can see pictures of the leaders. I don't know truly how many nations there are. In some accounts, there are 286. Some, there are 180. Some, no larger than the state of Delaware. Really. Some of that small. I was looking at Thailand today, because there was a military coup there on last night. Their leader was at the United Nations. The general took the control, took control of everything. And I looked at how Thailand is pitiful. I say, why would that nation snake down for hundreds of miles down to Myanmar? That doesn't make sense. You don't even understand the purpose and the reason behind that. Nations like Vietnam, do you know the nation that cost us 52,000 soldiers, only the size of Mississippi, and they killed that many American soldiers in a place like that, a little old country like that, that you can go to L.A. and get the Crips and the Bloods, and they will go through and drag them all over the place. It is a twisted world, and the world's mentality is twisted. You know when the nations of the world began to form, don't you? I will tell you. It's right there in the book in Bereshit. They began to form after the Tower of Babel. They began to go to different parts of the world. That's what we have in this generation today. We got the cultures of one nation think that this one is superior. You got mindsets that think that mine is more superior. And what our natural minds do, they literally separate us from having affections toward Yahweh. We love Yahweh with all. And then we love our neighbors as ourselves. How do you love yourself? Do you truly love yourself? I look at myself and I say, I love you, man. Yes, I talk to me like that. I criticize me, but I'm sweaty and dirty. And I look at the mirror and say, I love you. I really like you. I love you, friend. I love you, man. Look at you. I want to search you now and see what you're up to. But that's the way I talk to me. Because I love myself. To love your neighbor, your brother and sister, as you love yourself. You can never show an excellence of the excellence of Yahweh's love unless you love yourself. And I do love David. Yeah, I look at him and say, boy, I love you. Man, you look dirty and sweaty. You look a mess. But I love you, though. I love you, friend. I love you. What has separated you? Who? From the love of Yah. When he called them, they followed. He called Yisrael today to follow the living power of Torah. To let it be alive in your inward parts. Don't let it go dormant and die. A nation without light, it is no nation at all. A nation without truth, it falls into every kind of skullduggery and every kind of sin there is. And we will fall into the same traps. That's the truth. Who has separated us from loving HaMashiach? For he paid the price that we may have the true revelation of knowledge, that it becomes so alive in us, even in the midst of death, like Stephen, he says, forgive him. Come on, stone me. That didn't separate him from loving the. He looked up and saw HaMashiach sitting on the right hand of the Abba. And he said, I know the witness is true. I'm ready. Don't even worry about what they're doing. This is immaterial. This is small. Nothing separated him. Not even this life. Who has separated you from a diligent prayer, a diligent desire, or diligent examination of yourself constantly? We must examine ourselves constantly. Will you brush your teeth in the morning? When you eat breakfast, a little after breakfast, can you not feel a little film over your teeth? I brushed mine before I came here around 5:30, 6:30, I took a shower. Brushed my teeth, and I gargled with Listerine. And yet my mouth doesn't feel fresh now. Doesn't feel good at all. It is just the corruption of flesh, how it corrupts and pollutes continuously. It must be constantly examined and purged and cleansed. All the time. That's why it must be totally brought down to be incapacitated, that it doesn't rise up against the living power of Yahweh's truth. That's why you're up sometime, brothers and sisters. That's why you're funny. That's why you're joyful today. Then you down tomorrow. Then you're up. It is not Omariah. You're not being led by the Ruah. You've been led by flesh, corruption. You certainly not being led by the power. The Ruah of Omar Yahweh. For the Ruah is not that way. It is always instant. All the time. Regardless. So their possessions did not impede them, nor did their Avat or their Aima from following and obeying truth. We will cast aside the truth to appease a genetic retard. Sons and daughters of mama or daddy will do that. Yet the brother writes and says, Daddy, offer me money, vehicle, and home. You must understand MSC, California places like that, who saying to Brother Dolphus and the brother says, you all were leaving on Sunday, that even a little shack like that where I live in will cost you $350,000. And that's a fact. Whether you believe that or not. That place that Brother Dale is fixing over there, it will cost him $560,000 minimum in a place like that. You're a man that is struggling. His daughter, he's raising her. Daddy says, I give you a new car. Give you a home and give you money. Just renounce the things of Almighty. He doesn't even weigh it out because it is fruitless. It has no value at all. What separates us? Possessions? Just like the enemy offered HaMashiach possessions, the kingdoms, moment of a time, everything, bow down, worship me, all shall be yours. Do you think that he's telling the truth? He's a liar. He abode not in truth. He was a liar from the beginning, and he did not live by the principles of truth. He lives by bewitching. These brethren were not separated from this pure love that he spoke unto them. Come follow me. They did not allow the carnality of their attachment to separate them from this mighty event that they knew, although they were ignorant men. They did not understand the power and the validity of Torah. They left all and said, I will follow you. Left daddy, and daddy didn't question that. He didn't question that. Our parents, our kinfolks question us whether we are, have sanity and all. But that's all right. I have the mind of HaMashiach. Here's another example. I want you to understand that in order for you to walk in the oneness with Yahshua and this completeness, you must give up everything. All your possession. There's an account in Lucas, I tell you. Listen to this. And it came to pass that as they went in the way, there's a way that seemed right unto man, but the end thereof is death and destruction. They went in the way, a certain man said to him, Yahshua, I shall follow you wherever you go. I don't care, I will follow you. Yahshua said unto him, foxes have holes. Do you understand that, man? At least if you follow the fox, there's a hole to lie your head in. Birds of the air, they have nests. But I'm the Son of Man. I have nowhere to lay my head. I can't offer you a bed now. I can't offer you no bed, anything. I have nowhere. I have no certain dwelling place. The fox knows where his hole is, and the bird knows where his nest is. But I don't have that. I don't have any of that. And he said to another, follow me. But the man said, that sounds wonderful. But he said unto Yahshua, hold up. Suffer me first to go bury my daddy. I need to take care of some family matters. I need to let daddy and mama let them know what I'm doing. He said, follow me. Just come on, follow me. If you love me, follow me. Just follow me. We love Yahweh. We will follow HaMashiach. He's the example. He said, follow me. He said, but there are things I must do, and I can't do that. So if you would allow me to go see Dad and Mama, then I'll follow you. Yahshua said unto him, they're dead. There's no power of Torah in them. Let the dead bury the dead. Let them go the way of death. But go you and preach the kingdom of Almighty Yahweh. Obey the commands of Almighty Yah. Let the dead entertain the dead. And another said unto him, Yahshua, I will follow you, but first, let me go bid them farewell, which are at home at my house. I got to tell all my relatives and my kinfolks. I got to go. Now, I don't know when I'll be back, but I need to go. Yahshua looked at him and said, you said you'll follow me. You said you love me. You said you'll obey me. He said, I want to tell you something. No man like you, having put his hand to the plow, said you'll follow me, said you'll love me. And looking back, you look back to that way, to them. He said, you're not even fit for the kingdom.